All right. Happy Easter to everyone. Okay, let's have a little lesson here. If I walked up to you out there in the lobby and then said, "Happy Easter," would you have gone,
"What's so happy about it?"
Happy Easter! All right. Hey, if you guys could do us a favor, because a lot of you showed up today, which is cool. If there's a seat in between you and the person next to you, I know they may look a little squirrely, but they'll be cool for the next 30 minutes. So if you wouldn't mind, scoot to the center, because you still have folks in the back. I'm sorry, that's not clear to you guys, is it? If you're on the sides, actually scoot that way. Scoot to the outside so that you can come in the center, scoot to the center so that we can make room for everybody, because we want everybody to have a seat. Oh, no, we're bringing out middle school chairs now. It's getting crazy. We're bringing out the middle school chairs. If you sit in a middle school chair, there's a special place in heaven for you, all right? So you'll get doubly, doubly blessed. So, well, man, I'm excited. It's Easter Sunday. So glad that you guys came to check us out. I got a message I want to share with you today. But before we get to the message, I want to ask you guys a question. And I think it's a pretty simple question. How many of you have ever been let down? Have ever experienced something where you put your hope and your faith and you were like, "This is going to be fun, this is going to be awesome," only to have it let you down, right? I think most of you have experienced that. I've had a couple in my life. One that I'm going to share with you guys about real quick is I'm a Gamecock fan, so I'm well-versed on letdown. One recently, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Gamecocks won the SEC East, which is what I'm claiming. I'm clinging to that. And my father and I decided that we're going to take the trip to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. You know, we were excited until kickoff happened. But we were excited. We were like, this is it. This is the time for the Gamecocks to show up. And then this guy showed up and ruined everything for everyone. If I hear War Eagle, I'm coming off the stage. Yeah, can you guys hold on a minute? I have to go handle something right here. Yeah, this guy shows up. Yeah, that's him jumping over another human being because he can. And ruined everything. Huge letdown. Another letdown in my life. And before I share this one, because you're going to not like it when I share it, my wife told me to share it. She gave me permission. All right. Early in our marriage, my wife decided that she was going to attempt a dish that my mother makes very well. It's her lasagna. You'll taste it soon enough because they're going to serve it in heaven, I'm quite certain. And so you'll taste it. And my mom gave my wife the recipe. She made it. She slaved over it. She was so excited to put it before me and say, "Here's your mother's lasagna." And I took a bite. Huge letdown. It wasn't mama's lasagna. I don't know what it was, but I don't know that it was even lasagna. It was something else. But she told me to share this, I promise. But what I'm really convinced of, I'm convinced that my mother changed a few of the ingredients, you know, she's like, "You're marrying my son and all, but I'm not giving you everything in my bag just yet." And so I think she changed a few of the ingredients. So, but maybe that's not that. Maybe it's not sports. Maybe it's not food. But maybe you can identify with a cat named Clark Griswold. Clark Griswold from the Vacation films, right? All those movies have the exact same plot. Clark, the dad, builds up in his mind this thing he's going to do that's just going to be perfect, and it's going to be this tremendous family event, and they're all just going to love it, and everything's going to be perfect. And if you've seen any of the films, does it work out for him? No. Things always go horribly wrong. He gets let down, and he usually involves a scene where he says things that I can't say in church. But he gets very mad, and hilarity ensues for you and I. It's a pleasure, right? But he gets let down. He puts his hopes up, and he gets let down. Now, I believe every one of us in the room have experienced this putting hope in things, this let down at some point or other in our lives. And here's also what I know. I know for many of you in the room, it's not funny. The letdowns you've experienced haven't been funny. They haven't been cute. They haven't been ones that you want to share. Your letdowns are that a friend that you trusted, that you believed had your back, completely and totally sold you out and let you down. Your letdown is that you had a new job that you were so excited about, that was going to pay the bills, not only pay the bills, but it was going to make you happy. It was going to fulfill you. It was the job you felt like you were created to do. And you've been in it for a while and you realize, nope, my boss here is just as dumb as my boss there. The customers here whine just as much as the customers there. It's not working. Or maybe you started a new relationship. You start dating that guy. You start dating that girl. And you convince yourself, they're not going to be like every other person I've ever dated. No, 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 no. They're not going to let me down. They are going to rot. They got my back. They're going to, as we learned from Jerry Maguire, they're going to complete me. And they didn't. They let you down. Maybe you have a spouse that you put your hope in. They're never going to betray me. And they have. And they're gone. Maybe you thought, what's going to fill this void in my life? What's going to really complete me is to have a child. Because if I just have a baby, man, if I have that baby that's going to love me unconditionally, and then you find out all they do is cry. And it didn't work. And I can say the same thing about a new car or a new house, any of those things. You've tried, you put your hope, only to have them let you down over and over. And each time the new thing comes along, you convince yourself, I don't know how we do it, but we do. We convince ourselves, this is it. This is the one that's going to work. This is the one that's going to finally put me over the top and make me happy. And it doesn't work. And some of you have figured that out. And so you've gone from hopeful to jaded. You're the cynic. And you kind of live to spread that joy to other people. You know, you're that guy that's like, well, don't get your hopes up. Here's a note between me and you. People don't like you when you say that. I'm just saying. They don't. But I get where you're coming from. I really do. It's because you feel like nothing's ever worked out for you. Ever. Right? Every plan you've ever had, everything that was supposed to work out, has it. And you just sit around and look at your life and you're like, how? How did I end up here? How did I end up like this? How did I end up the person that doesn't believe in anything because everything I've ever tried to believe in has let me down? How did I get here? And it's not a fun place to be. I know some of you have been there. I know some of you are there now. So here's my question for you today. What if I could guarantee that you will never be let down again? What if I could make that promise to you? Is that something you'd be interested in? Is that something you'd want to check out? Is that something you would say, okay, all right, I'm in. I'm at least going to listen to what you're saying. If you're telling me that there is something, there's a way to live life that does allow hope to trust, to believe, a way that I can put away the cynicism, because it's not really who I am. I've just put it up to protect myself because I've been burned so many times. But my heart tells me there's got to be better. My heart tells me there's got to be another way out there. But I just can't find it. I just can't figure it out. I just can't get to it. And today what I want to do in our brief time together is I want to share what I believe that hope is. And that hope comes in a man. And his name is Jesus. Now, if you grew up in the South, you've been to church on Easter before. You know this deal. Right? I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. You're going to say, well, that sounds nice. And then you're going to go home and it's going to be the same, right? Well, here's my hope today. My hope today is that you can open yourself up just a little bit, just a tiny little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. Just as you're sitting here today, just think, okay, that what he said so far kind of makes sense. I'm going to at least be open. I'm going to at least listen. Because what we're going to do today is a little different. I'm going to tell a story of Jesus this morning through the eyes of one of his most devoted followers. Her name was Mary Magdalene. And she had followed Jesus for years. She had seen him do amazing things. And here's the cool thing about this story, all right? Right now, you can sit in this room and you don't have to believe in Jesus, okay? I acknowledge some of you don't. Thrilled you're here. You don't have to believe in Jesus, okay? Here's what I ask you to agree with me on right now. We can all agree that Mary did believe in Jesus, right? We can all agree with that. And see, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Mary today, and what's happening in Mary's life right now is we are seeing her at her darkest moment in her life. Because we're going to look at her on the Sunday morning after Jesus was killed. The Sunday morning after he was killed. As she's on her way to his tomb to take care of his dead body. Now, even if you don't believe in Jesus, you and I can agree that Mary did believe in Jesus, and we all can relate to how she felt in that moment. She felt let down. Okay, Mary felt destroyed. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at that story, and we're going to see how the God of the universe can actually provide hope in that moment. If you have your Bibles, and I know some of you do, you can turn to John 20. That's where I'm going to be. John 20, we're going to start in verse 11. And here's what we see. It starts out this way. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. Well, of course she was crying. Let me give you a brief recap of what had happened in Mary's life for the past 72 hours. Okay? Mary had seen the man that she believed in, that she trusted, that she had put her hope in. She had seen the man that she believed was going to be the next king of Israel, that she believed was going to have a political overthrow of the Roman Empire, was going to bring the nation of Israel back to prosperity, the guy that had been promised by God through the prophets. That's who she thought Jesus was. And she had put everything she had on him. In poker terms, she was all in, baby. She was in. And here's what had happened. She had watched that man be arrested, beaten, then put through a trial, accused of heresy by the Jews. That means speaking against God. Through the religious leaders who she thought he was there to lead, they accused him of lying and speaking ill against God. And then they beat him again. And then they had him stripped naked, walked through the streets with a cross on his back. They put the cross up. They nailed him to the cross, naked, put a crown of thorns on his head, put a sign above it mocking him as the king of the Jews. She watched the Roman soldiers poke at him, mock him. She watched them gamble for the clothing that they had taken off of him. And then she watched him breathe his last pitiful breath and die right in front of her eyes. And that wasn't it. Then she watched them take him down, and no one knew what to do with his body because he was so poor. He didn't have a place to go. He didn't have a tomb. So somebody else stepped up and said, he can have mine. And so they put him in this borrowed tomb, and then she had to go home because, oh yeah, it was Friday. And at sundown on Friday, it became the Jewish holy day. No work. Jesus finally died so late in the afternoon that they took him down. All they had time to do was put him in the tomb, and that was it. And then they had to go home. Sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, they couldn't work. They could do nothing. So all she could do was sit and think, what has just happened? And at sundown Saturday, it was dark. You can't go to the tomb at dark. They didn't have, you know, flashlights and stuff. So at first light Sunday morning, with every bit of willpower and guts and whatever you would call it, she wills herself out of bed and says, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare his body for burial. Because what else could I do at this moment? What else could happen? So she shows up. She rolls up on that day, and she's about this close to her breaking point. And when she gets there, she sees that the stone that had been guarding the tomb is moved and that the tomb is empty. She immediately assumes that someone's stolen his body. And at this point, she loses it. At this point, Mary cannot take any more letdown. And so she just loses it. She just sits there and she cries. And she cries. And she cries. She had tried, right? We can give her credit. She had hung in there. She had watched the whole time thinking, okay, he's going to free himself now. Oh, no. Okay. This is it. When they put him up on the cross, he's going to look at him and say, ha-ha, and he's going to get down. I know it. Something's going to happen. And then when he dies, he was like, no, wait, no. No, he didn't. He can't have really died. No, he's going to. Don't leave. He is coming back. Do not leave this place. He is not going to die. Okay, well, he's dead. And as they put him in the tomb, she's like, we can't leave him here. And then, poor thing, she had gotten there, and I just think she collapsed. I don't think she could take any more. And I think many of us in the room have been in exactly the same spot. We've tried. We've pushed through. But we've all come to that moment where we realize it's not going to work. That moment when you realize your business is going to fail. Not it might fail, but it's going to, and you're going to have to declare bankruptcy. The moment you realize, yeah, they've left and they're not coming back. There's no hope anymore. The moment you realize, yep, they said that to someone else. They divulged what I told them. And you've had that moment, that realization. And here's what happens. Here's what I ask. Here's what you ask. As we experience that hurt that we've experienced before, we ask the same question. How did I let this happen again? Why did I do this again? How was I so silly to believe this could work again? And then we ask the other question. And why does this hurt so much? Why does this bother me so much? What's happened? That's where Mary is. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. As she wept, she stooped and she looked in to the tomb. See, at this point, Mary, she's realized he's let me down. She's realized he's gone. And so she's like, I've got to face reality here. I've got to look the truth in the eyes. I've got to do this. Okay, so she looks in, and look what happens, verse 12. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Now, this is the part of the story where I say, time out. Time out. If you get an angel show up on your face, all right, you don't get to mope anymore. Angels, flying, halo, right? That's it. You know? Bell rings, angel gets his wings, all that kind of fun stuff. If an angel shows up, we're like, we'd be okay, right? I don't get this. Well, Hollywood has not helped us here, all right? Little note for you. Angels don't always have wings and a halo, okay? The Bible talks over and over and over about what they call that we are entertaining angels unaware. That means there are times where angels are on this earth and they look just like us. And we have no idea that they're angels. And that's what I believe is happening here. Mary didn't know they were angels. John, the writer of this book, in his retelling of the story, knows that they're angels because they figured it out. But at the time, they didn't know. So we can give Mary a pass here, okay? She did not know they were angels. She just thought they were two dudes. And then they ask the worst question in the history of mankind for someone in her situation. Verse 13, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. Why are you crying? What's wrong? I'm sure she wanted to say, what's wrong? You want to ask me what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. This is like those super helpful people that come up to you on the worst moment of your life and they go, hey, buddy, what's wrong? Turn that frown upside down. I want to punch them in the face. Say, I'll show you what's wrong. See, that's where Mary is right now. But I want you to see her answer, because her answer to this question is the key to today. Her answer to this question is going to explain why you and I fall for this over and over and over again, and why it hurts so badly when we do. Why it hurts so badly every time we put hope in something and it lets us down. Okay, here's what she says. She says, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. See, Jesus wasn't this guy to Mary. He wasn't a good thing. He was her God. She put her faith and trust and hope in Jesus. She gave him the ability in her life to give her life value, to give her life meaning, and to give her life purpose. And her God had let her down. And here's the big reveal for the day. The reason those things that we trust in, that we believe in, that we put our hope in, hurt so bad is because, whether you realize it or not, you have made them your gods. You have given them the ability in your life to determine your worth, to determine your value. You let your job give you value. You let that friend determine your value. You let that new house determine your happiness. You let that boyfriend or girlfriend determine your worth. And every single time it lets you down, it hurts so much because your God has let you down again. Now, this is huge to get. This is huge for you and I to understand, because we can't move forward until we can understand this. Until we can understand. Because right now you're thinking, you're not my God. What's he talking about? Now he's gone off the deep end. Now he's gone all Christian, and I'm going to turn him off. But hear me out for a minute. Think about this. Think about this. A God is anything that you allow to determine your worth or value. Okay? It's anything you trust in and say, this is going to make me happy. That's a God. Are you really telling me you don't look at those things in your life and say, this is going to make me happy? This new job is going to make me happy. This new baby is going to make me happy. This new husband or wife is going to make me happy. This new boyfriend or girlfriend is going to make me happy. The new boss is going to make me happy. The new car is going to make me happy. We do it every day. But every single day it lets us down, because it's not capable of doing that. But that's where Mary was. She acknowledged, she realized, he was my God, and he's let me down. Verse 14, she turned to leave. She's done. She turns to leave and saw someone standing there. Hear this. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Now think about that for a minute. It was Jesus, and she didn't even recognize him. She was so distraught. She was so confused. She didn't even know what she was looking for. That even though the God of the universe had been standing there the whole time, she didn't recognize him. Hear me today. For many of you in the room, the God of the universe has been standing there the whole time. You just haven't recognized him yet. And the reason you haven't is because God doesn't ask the questions we think God should ask. We'll see what God asks. Let's look at this. Look at this. Verse 15. Look at what he says. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? So practical, so direct, so right there. See, you and I, we think God is up there doing some cosmic thing about how can I make their life more miserable? How can I convince them to move to Africa? Ha ha ha. How can I ruin their life? You know? We think God's up there out to get us. He's some cosmic killjoy that wants to rob our fun and our joy. I mean, we live at Myrtle Beach. We're going to have fun. And so we're scared of God. We're like, no, God's against that. God doesn't want that. But see, what you have to see here, that's not what God asked. God didn't say, Mary, why didn't you have faith in me? I told you 50 times I was going to come back to life. He didn't say that. He didn't say, are you crazy? There were two angels in there. He didn't say that. No, he looks at her with love and compassion in his heart, and he says, dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? How can I help? How can I assist? How can I help ease your pain that you're having right now? What can I do? Just name it. What can I do for you? See, I think that's what God's saying to each and every one of us today. He's saying, I know you've been let down before. I know your pain. I know you don't know what to trust again. Let me help. I want to help this. I want to fix this. I want to solve this. I created you and I love you, and I created you for way more than to live a life full of jaded cynicism, never believing in anything. I'm here to help. So let me help. And Jesus is saying that to you today, but many of you don't recognize it, and that's okay, because Mary didn't either, and she actually saw Jesus face to face. Mary didn't recognize it either. Here's what she says. She thought he was the gardener. Can you believe that? Yikes. Okay, sir, she said. And then she accuses him of stealing the body. If you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him. See, that's what our hurts do to us. They blind us to the hand of God in our life. That's why putting our faith in all these other things is so dangerous. Because we get so used to being let down that when God shows up, we don't even recognize that we even accuse him of doing bad things to us because we're afraid he's going to let us down too. But here's the difference between Jesus and every other God you've ever tried to have in your life. Here it is, right here. Verse 16. Mary, Jesus said. He said her name. And she turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. See, the moment he said her name, everything changed. Because in that moment she realized, oh, no, that's him. That's Jesus. That's the God I can count on. Those 72 hours of me talking to myself and convincing myself, no, he's not going to let me down. No, he's not going to do what everybody else has ever done in my life. No, he's not going to be like everybody else. He is going to come through, paid off. When Jesus Christ looked at Mary and said her name, he came through. He did not let her down. And to you in the room today who are hurting, who are in pain, who have been burned over and over and over again by these gods that you've given power to, that you've trusted in, who've never done anything for you, I want you to know today the God of the universe knows your name. He knows you. He created you. He planned you. He's molded you and shaped you. He knows everything there is to know about you. And over 2,000 years ago, he decided, I'm going to put on skin. I'm going to go to earth. I'm going to live a perfect sinless life for 33 years. Then I'm going to allow to happen to me. What's going to happen? This day I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be bruised. I'm going to go through all that. Because they've made mistakes. And they can have a relationship with me unless there's a sacrifice. So Jesus said, I'm going to do it. And then today, he woke up. He beat death. He woke up and the world was changed forever. That God that did that stands here today saying, what's wrong? Who are you looking for? Because I want to help. And I'm the guy that knows your name. I'm the only guy that can. See, it's like I said, you've been pre-wired for this. You are pre-wired to want a God in your life that will give you value and purpose and meaning. There's just one guy who can do it. None of the rest can, but the one who knows your name, he died to do it. So here's the deal. Today, many of you stand at a crossroads. You've been burned. I know you have. I get it. I have too. You don't know what to put trust in, what to put faith in. You don't know what counts. But you also know that there's something going on in your heart right now that you can't explain. You kind of believe this. You want to believe this. You're a little scared to, but you want to buy it. You want to say, okay, I can roll with this. I believe this. I believe that this guy, that this God of the universe did these things for me. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to respond. That's all we have to do. The God of the universe that knows your name is saying today, I can end the letdowns. Put your faith and your hope and your trust in me, and I will never let you down. Other people will. Other things will. I never will. So what do you have to lose? Why would you not give your life to that? Why would you not want to live your life with that guy assigning you value and worth and meaning? He's already told you how much you're worth. You're worth everything. He died for you. You're priceless in his eyes. The Bible says he calls you a masterpiece. So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to respond to what God is doing in your heart. I invite everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads right now. And it's very simple. If in your heart today you would say, yes, I've trusted in other things, but today I want to trust in the God of the universe. I want to trust in the God that knows my name. Here's what I ask you to do. I'd ask you to simply repeat after me in your heart what I'm going to pray aloud. Pray it to God. Just talk straight to Him. You can do that. I'm about to do a whole series explaining it. You can talk straight to God. So just say in your heart what I'm saying right now. God, I have been let down, but I believe You won't let me down. I come to You today saying, I can't do this on my own. I can't. I don't know everything about You, but I know enough to know I believe. And I want to start this relationship. So right now, I ask You to take over my life. I say I'm going to do everything I can every day to make You my Lord. I accept the gift You give of Your sacrifice to make me clean before God. I believe in You, and I commit today to live for You the best I can for the rest of my life. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know heaven's going crazy because some folks just came home. The God that knows your name is up there doing backflips, because He is so thrilled. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to do two things for me. Because you made the decision here, which means I'm going to stand before God one day. He's going to say, hey, how'd that go that Easter Sunday? Those people that made those decisions, whatever happened to them. I want to be able to pray for you. I want to be able to walk along this road with you. So here's what I ask you to do. Every head bowed, eyes closed. People aren't looking around. I want you to let me know that you've made this life-changing decision today. And you do that simply by raising your right hand. I'm going to count to three. I don't want you to think about it. Don't look around. Don't be concerned. Just publicly say before God and me right now, yes, I've given my life to Jesus and I'm going to live for Him. Get ready. One, two, three. Shoot your hands up in the air. Just shoot them up. Just keep them up. Just keep them up. There's no, still do it. Just shoot them up. Keep those hands up in the air. Amen. Keep them up. Amen. Amen. All right, you can put them down. I pray for every single person who just raised their hand. I thank You, Father, for what has just happened.